In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
When Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there.' For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you." Then he said to the disciples, "The days will come when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Now there is so much to talk about in today's gospel. One hardly knows where to begin. We are on the eve of national elections in our country. I want to tell you that as Christians, we should absolutely participate in civil government by becoming elected officials if we have the talents or abilities to do that, to participate in the electorate, casting our vote. We too are among the civil authorities appointed by God for such service with the right of franchise. We do this because we believe in the Lord Jesus and to serve our neighbor in love. But I want to tell you, no matter what happens on Tuesday in our state or in our country, the civil government is not the kingdom of God of which Jesus speaks in the Gospel of St. Luke. Nations rise and nations fall, according to the gracious providence of the Lord Jesus, who sits enthroned at the Father's right hand. They rise and they fall, and he governs all things for the sake of his church. We are fully engaged in the world around us, but we are so out of faith in Christ, out of love for the neighbor that flows from that faith in acts of mercy and compassion. In the gospel for today, Jesus was preparing the disciples and the church for what was ahead. And what was ahead? Suffering, internal turmoil, persecution, and hardship. I want you to understand that the ministry of Jesus in its fulfilling of the Old Testament witness concerning what the Messiah would do could be prone to misunderstanding. Let me explain how. When Jesus began his ministry after his baptism, what did he do? He preached and he taught that the kingdom of God was at hand, just as he speaks about the kingdom of God in Luke 17. And he began to do all of those things that Messiah would do as the kingdom of God broke in. He healed the sick, gave sight to the blind, restored hearing to the deaf, cleansed the leper. He even raised the dead, and he preached the gospel of God's mercy to the poor, eating with tax collectors and sinners, which drove the self-righteous Pharisees and scribes nuts. And they rightly recognized the kingdom of God has come, and it is centered in a person, the person of the Lord Jesus. In all of those divine miracles and signs, the kingdom of God was breaking in. The kingdom of God's grace and mercy and salvation, which is the result of Jesus' suffering and death upon the cross, already in advance, the forgiveness of sins and the life and salvation was breaking in. All of those miracles of Jesus were a foretaste of the things to come in the resurrection from the dead. When, in the words of the gospel for today, Jesus would come again in triumphant glory and everyone would know him. As lightning flashes from the east to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. And all the dead will rise. and he will receive his glorious body, the church, to himself. But don't expect the kinds of signs and wonders that Jesus performed during his ministry to continue. Oh, if we could only see those things again, the disciples might have said. Jesus speaks of it in the gospel for today when he says, the days will come when you, remember he's talking to the disciples at this point, when you will desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man and you will not see it. Oh, if only we could have Jesus in the wilderness multiply the loaves and the fishes again, we wouldn't have to worry about the scourge of inflation eroding away the buying power of our dollar. Because our refrigerator would be filled, we would have the food we need and the drink that we need, and who cares about the 401k? Oh, the days are coming when they will desire to see the kingdom as they had seen it in Jesus' ministry. But they won't. So what is he preparing them for in the gospel? He's preparing them for suffering. Suffering with sickness that isn't healed, with cancer that results in death, with Alzheimer's and dementia. He's preparing them for the loss of loved ones when one believes in Christ and another doesn't, and there's a brokenness and there's an estrangement. He's preparing them for coming persecution and for martyrdom. He's preparing them for a church that finds herself in the minority of public opinion. Just like we find ourselves today. You know, sometimes when we talk about the end times, we immediately gravitate to wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and natural disasters, so-called hurricanes. But we need to hear what Jesus says. Balances that off with in the gospel according to St. Luke. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, and there was nothing wrong with those kinds of things, but it sounds very ordinary, doesn't it? Until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. In other words, it could be like the Roaring Twenties. Some of you might be alive that remember that period of time. Everything was swimmingly fantastic. Or it might be the time when America is made great again. What else do we need? We've got everything from the Lord. And then he returns again in glory. The things that we can see in the world around us, which are the evidence of prosperity for a nation, wealth, protection, peace, low inflation, low interest rates, all of those kinds of things, as wonderful as they can be, and we should understand them to be blessings from God in this temporal world, are nonetheless not the kingdom of God. And there may be no faith, no repentance. When Jesus asks the question elsewhere, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? The answer is not much. So Jesus is preparing the disciples for exactly the kind of world that you and I live in. When Jesus says, the kingdom of God is within you, it's an interesting expression there. It can be translated, is within you or is in your midst. And I believe that absolutely both are in order here. The kingdom of God is the gift of faith and the Holy Spirit in the hearts of his Christians, his baptized faithful. a faith and a gift of the Spirit that will suffer all things from a society and culture which is at enmity with the gospel of Christ and not let go of Him who gave His life for them. And the kingdom of God is in your midst because such faith and the gift of the Holy Spirit is nurtured through the external fellowship of preaching and teaching and sacraments. You can't have one without the other. You can't have faith in Christ, the kingdom of God in the heart, without the preaching and the sacraments of the Lord Jesus. They are the one thing needful. Baptism saves and absolution saves and the Holy Supper of our Lord saves because Jesus is the content of all of it. And our faith as Christians clings to no one else but Him, whom they pierced and nailed to the tree. When the children of Israel were redeemed from slavery in Egypt, I think many of us think it was such a grand thing. They are making their exodus, their way out of Egypt. They are free. But notice they weren't immediately in a land flowing with milk and honey that was lush. The land of Midian, where Mount Sinai was, that wilderness was desert, like the world in which we live. On this side of the resurrection and Christ's second coming, there's a lot more suffering, a lot more hardship, a lot more dreary desert than any of us would like. But it serves God's purpose. For as the Son of God, our Savior, suffered and died in order to redeem us and usher in an eternal kingdom in the resurrection on the last day, so His body, the church, whether it's the Old Testament church of Israel or you and I in the New Testament church, we must suffer. For in our suffering as the body of Christ, we learn the riches of God's grace in the Lord Jesus. So the kingdom of God is in your midst. Not only by the faith that He creates in the Lord Jesus in your heart, through the external word and sacraments of the Lord Jesus, but the kingdom of God is in your midst when you see the suffering of Christians who bear that suffering with patience and with joy, not without tears, but always in hope, always in hope. Through the things that we suffer, even our own weaknesses, we are taught what it is that Jesus bore when He took upon Himself the weaknesses and the sins and the punishment and the wrath of God for the whole world. When we're persecuted or martyred for our faith in Christ, and when we lose battles, as the world would understand triumph and loss, we look to Jesus, who in His suffering and death on Good Friday looked to be the most pathetic, weak human being who had ever lived. You want to see the kingdom of God. In this life, the cross is where the kingdom of God is to be seen. And that cross is in evidence not only in the remembrance of Jesus' suffering and death, but in the visible manifestations of that suffering in the church today. Hear these words of Martin Luther on preaching and suffering. Under Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. He writes, "It is a very precious promise, if only we could believe it, that our afflictions are to God the most pleasing sacrifices. The Lord God delights in our preaching, suffering, and sadness. They are the highest sacrifice." But He is not speaking here of the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, but teaches that sorrow and contrition are the greatest sacrifices, for they stay the old man. Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And when the lightning flashes from the east to the west, when the Son of Man comes in glory, remember in that image at Jesus' second coming, what will be the cause of the greatest joy and delight for each one of us? It is spoken of in the hymn. Those dear tokens of his passion, still his dazzling body bears. Cause of endless exultation to his ransomed worshipers. With what rapture gaze we on those glorious stars. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.